2 Samuel 22, verses 47 through 51 is our portion. So let's ask God for his help in it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this part of your word. We pray that your spirit would bless it to us, that you would stir up our faith in Christ, that Christ would be glorified and you in him, that we would be made like him unto his glory. So help us now as we preach and help us now as we hear, for we ask it in his name. Amen. 2 Samuel 22, verses 47 through 51. These are God's words. Yahweh lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from a violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, among the Gentiles, and sing praise to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forevermore. Amen. So this is the conclusion to David's great psalm that responds to all of God's mercies in his life summarizes all of God's mercies in his life. We have it in Psalm 18. We have it here in 2 Samuel 22. And the climax of the praise of God identifies God especially as two things, avenger and deliverer. Avenger of his people, but especially avenger of his king. Deliverer of his people, but especially deliverer of his king. And this is especially of David as king, but of Jesus as the great king, the forever king. We see at the end of the passage, he is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. And the word descendants there in the Hebrew is the word seed, which appears in the singular. And it can mean many descendants, but when it says to his anointed, which is the word Messiah, which is the word Christ, Messiah being an Hebrew, and Christ being an anglicization of the Greek, when he says, he is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his Christ, to David and his seed forevermore. And we know from the New Testament that sometimes when it is obvious that that seed is Jesus, it's singular on purpose. Because yes, it belongs to us, but it only belongs to us because it belongs to him. And when we come to belong to him and he to us, then it belongs to us too, but only in Jesus. So it is Jesus, especially as the God-man, as the son of David, as the Messiah, who is attacked by the peoples and avenged upon the peoples, who is attacked with violence and delivered, raised up from those attacks. As David leads us, and really Christ through David leads us to the end of this psalm of praise and the climax of the praise, he especially glorifies God as two things. Verse 48 as avenger and verse 49 as deliverer. And it is God as avenger, to which he responds, Yahweh lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. And it is God as deliverer, to which he responds, Yahweh lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. Now, as Christians, we want to give God thanks and praise for saving us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love his glory. We want him to be glorified, and we want him to be glorified the way he defines his glory and the way he declares his glory. One of the things we learn as we go along is that our own definitions of God's glory and our own declarations of God's glory are not to be compared to his, and are only valuable so far as they participate in the way God defines his glory and in the way God declares his glory. Well, here he declares his glory especially as avenger and deliverer. Now, quite literally, that means problems for us. Because God can't be glorified as our avenger unless we have enemies and attackers. And God cannot be glorified as our deliverer unless we have trouble to be delivered from. However, since you already know that you have enemies and attackers, and since you already know that you have troubles, you may now rejoice by seeing them in light of God's purpose for his glory. The reason you have enemies and attackers is because God intends to be glorified as your avenger. The reason Christ, to bring it closer even to the text, and you in him and you for his sake, the reason Christ has enemies and attackers is for God to be glorified as his anointed's, his king's avenger. And so someone or some ones or some nation or some raging horde of false religionists, as you probably, several of you who know a little bit of world history and know a little bit of church history, have different moments and times, and then also in our own time, in our own day, does not the Lord Jesus have his enemies? Not just in the nation, but in the churches. Many of them are the things that go by those names. Even the apostle, remember, just in Philippians, wrote, he told the Philippians with tears that there were those in the churches who by their error or by their immorality lived as enemies of the cross of Christ. And yes, that is a grief to us. But when God brings us to the climax of praise at the end of 2 Samuel, he also helps us by giving us another way to understand it, and a helpful way to approach it. Every enmity, every attack against Jesus is a circumstance and occasion for God to be glorified in avenging his king and his people. And so we can see the attacks on his church, the attacks on Christ, even by errors in the church. And we can say, God, you have brought this about to glorify yourself as the vindicator of your son. And we can praise him for what he is going to do there. And we can praise him even past tense for the many times he has done it that look forward to his ultimate and final climactic vindicating of his name and of his son and his son's glory in the last day. Well, just as God, in order to be glorified as avenger, there have to be enemies, and this is one of the reasons there are such a thing as enemies and attackers, God to be glorified as deliverer, for God to be glorified as our deliverer, there has to be that from which we are delivered. The enemies feature prominently in verse 49 as well, but it works for other deliverance, but here in this case, deliverance from violence, and since we know that it is of Christ, deliverance even from death. And that marvelous passage in Revelation where they loved not their lives even unto death is almost immediately followed by they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Well, they didn't overcome by not dying. They overcame by dying a death that could not conquer them, a death that itself was conquered. And we know that we shall rise again, even as Christ already has risen again, in which he was declared the Son of God with power. And so whatever trouble you're in, part of the reason you're in that trouble is because in your union with Jesus Christ, for Jesus' sake, because Jesus has earned it, God will deliver you out of that trouble. Think about any of your troubles now, whatever they are, even, especially, perhaps, your own sin. Will it still be there 100,000 years hence? Will it still be here 100 years hence? There will be no sin. And when the Lord Jesus appears, and we don't know how long until then, but math can't go as far as eternity. It tries, but it just gets descriptive and weird. Trust me, we can talk about it later. But there will be no more sin. He will wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more death. Every single trouble you have as one who is united to Christ by faith is time limited. It will expire, and part of its purpose will be seen to glorify God as the one who delivered you out of it. Is that not a great comfort to you, dear Christian? That part of the purpose for every one of your trials is for you to be delivered and for God to be glorified as your deliverer. And you can already praise him with 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18 and dozens of other passages that he has given you to sing and to pray as the one who has delivered you out of the trouble you're still in. It's a glorious gospel. It's the kind of thing that a jailer, and not to mention the inmates who, when they were freed, decided to stick around and hang out with those guys who were able to sing like that in the bottom of the jail. And that's the gospel that we believe. That's a Christ in whom we believe. And as he praises his Father with this song, so we, in union with him, may praise him with this song as well, glorifying God as our avenger. And so now, you know one of the reasons why there are enemies, why there are attacks, and our deliverer. You know one of the reasons for every one of your troubles, even your own remaining sin, that you might be delivered even from its presence until it is no more. Let's praise our God and ask him for his help. Our God, we do praise you, our rock. We want you to be exalted. You are the rock of our salvation. As you live forever, and as you are our heritage, we rejoice to know from your word, to sing and praise from your word, that you are our avenger, that you are our deliverer, that the enemies will be defeated and destroyed, and we will have no enemies in the new heavens and the new earth, and that there will be no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no death, but you will have delivered us from every one of our troubles. We pray, Lord, that you would help us. We realize that one of the reasons why we do poorly under the stress of attack or under the stress of trouble is that we do not love your glory enough. And so we do not get enough comfort out of the fact that you are being glorified as our avenger and our deliverer. So we pray that your Spirit would continue working out the mind and heart of Christ to whom this song belongs, that your Spirit would continue working out his mind and his heart in us, that we, rejoicing over how you are being glorified in avenging us and delivering us, would be further enabled whether to love our enemies until the day that you take your vengeance that belongs to you, or whatever other right response in the midst of our troubles. Help us to love your glory in a way that removes from us anxiety and fear and gives us victory and love and obedience and service. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.